Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to The Healing Room with Minister Denise Davidson Mystic, bringing inspiration from the Bible for the whole woman, spirit, mind, and body. Regular guests Janice C. Andrews, MD, and author, health coach Marjorie Phelps bring nature's ingredients for healthy living. Enter The Healing Room with expectation. Listen to real-life stories about God's healing power. Build up your faith for life's journey through the power of the Holy Spirit. Overcome depression and anxiety through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And live well. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at ChristianWomenAffiliate.com. Here's your host.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for entering the healing room with us again tonight. I'm Denise Mystic, your host, and I appreciate all of you who take the time to stop by and listen to the Word of God with us. And I want to reiterate what I said last week. Do you know that the simple fact that you are seeking makes you one of God's elite? I don't know if you realize just how rare and how special you are to God just because you're looking in His direction. So be encouraged in that simple fact and stay tuned. We're going to share some insight that God has given us through the Holy Spirit on some of the events that are taking place all around us. Dreams and visions are gifts from God. And actually one of the main ways that He communicates to us. So tonight we're going to share some dreams and visions that He has given to us. Marjorie Phelps is here with us tonight, and she will be on the air shortly, so stay with us. You're going to want to hear what she has to say. Last week we talked about the dangers in the wilderness and how believers can get stuck in that spiritual wilderness. And through faith and by standing on the Word of God, however, we find our way out. It was a good episode, so go back and pick that up on spiritualhealthsource.com when you get a chance. Don't go now, but go when you get a chance and pick up that episode. Before we move on into the show, I want to express my gratitude to our sponsors, Marjorie Phelps and Janice C. Andrews, MD. Marjorie is an author and health coach. She has a way of writing for children that makes learning to eat healthy foods fun. You can learn more about her on MarjoriePhelps.com. One of her books for children is called Mighty Me and the Rainbow Plate, and it would be an excellent Christmas gift for your small children. Dr. Andrews owns a successful practice in Pennsylvania in integrative medicine. You can learn more about her and pick up some much-needed wisdom on PepSolutions.com. That is PEPSolutions.com, and on LightenUp-Now.com. That is her blog. So go stop by there and check out what she has to say about staying healthy the natural way. Before we move on, I want to just take a few minutes to enter God's presence. I think I said this a few weeks ago. I want to stop saying that we're going to the Lord in prayer like we normally do, because quite frankly, He is always here with us. So it's not really to say that we're going to Him, but let's just take a minute to quiet and just connect with Him and just ask for His blessings for this show. Father God, I thank You so much for this opportunity. I praise Your name for Your word and for the truth that will come forth. Father God, I just ask that You will touch each believer, each listener, and each participant, myself and Marjorie, and just bless us with let us feel Your presence, Father God, as we move forth through this really kind of difficult episode, Father. I come against any lying spirits or anything that might be false, but Father God, I ask that You will intervene. Give us discernment and allow us to speak only those things that You would have us speak. Father God, give us the words to set Your people on the right path in the way that You would have them go. I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. You know, we're not going to be taking calls tonight, and we're not going to open the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, but you can always catch us on Twitter. The handle is TMAGod for Tell Me About God, or use hashtag #healing4, that's healing for us, in your questions and comments, and we will catch up with you soon. If you like Facebook, we're there also. Just look and search for Spiritual Health Source. You can always find us on our website and use the contact tab to get in touch. It's spiritualhealthsource.com or tellmeaboutgod.org. Before we continue, I want to just play a little bit of music so everybody can take time and just relax, get situated, and just get your hearts prepared to hear a word from God.
Fill us
appreciate it when Doug Mathis lets us use his music on the radio show. It just brings so much life into the show. He's such an anointed artist with a wonderful professional sound. You can learn more about him at DougMathisMusic.com. It's just amazing. And it's still playing. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I have a little bit of technical difficulty on my end almost every week, and I'm not sure. I just hear a little bit of a delay, and then I didn't hear the music, and then I did hear the music, so I apologize for that. Anyway, Doug Mathis is just an amazing artist, and you can learn more about him on DougMathisMusic.com. I appreciate him letting us use his music whenever we want on the radio show. It's wonderful, and it's anointed. And we need that tonight because we're going into the topic of visions and dreams. And we're kind of stepping out of the box a little bit on the show. And I've been kind of wondering myself, what does that have to do with healing? Because this is called the Healing Room, well, it has everything to do with healing because we need to know the truth. And God gives us visions and dreams to guide us and to protect us. And I know that some people might be skeptical. So before I go into describing a couple of visions and dreams that I have had, I want to share a scripture with you. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus is speaking and he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So that passage tells us that we do have access to the Spirit and that the Spirit will reveal to us the things that are to come. Clearly and obviously, we don't know everything that is going to come, but God does reveal things to people in visions and dreams and through prophecy to help us, to guide us in the right path. Another passage is in the book of Acts, and it is chapter 2, starting with verse 17. And this is just after the Holy Spirit had fallen, ushering in the new covenant. He had fallen there on the disciples, and they had begun to speak in tongues. And the people were laughing, they were scoffing, and they were mocking. And Peter reminds them of this passage. And he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the blood to moon, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that is another passage. Of course, that goes deeper and further into end times, and that's not necessarily what we're talking about tonight. But what we're talking about, we're going to share visions and dreams, and that passage tells you clearly that God does speak to his people through visions and dreams and with prophecy. So that being said, I'm going to share with you first a vision that I had many years ago. This was about probably 15 years ago. And this was when I had first rededicated my life to the Lord, and I was in the Word all day, every day, and in prayer. I was that hungry and that thirsty, and it was a wonderful time of growing and learning and unlearning, to be quite honest with you. I had to do more unlearning than I did learning. But I had just gone to bed. I wasn't asleep. At that point, a lot of times we have dreams when we're just at the edge of sleep. This wasn't one of those times. My head had just hit the pillow, and I had just closed my eyes, and I began to see what looked like a slideshow. And these were the slides that I saw in the slideshow. The first scenes that I saw were pictures from Africa. I saw animals and plants that you would normally see on the continent of Africa, not here in the United States. And I saw picture after picture, like an elephant and then a lion and then a tree. I forget the name of the tree, but it's the one you always see when you see a graphic for the, you know, representing Africa. And I saw things like that, and then that the dream, it kind of came in three phases, and that was the first phase, and that phase ended with the scene of a maple leaf that was falling from a tree, which didn't make any sense because it wasn't in Africa necessarily, but this maple leaf had red veins. You could see it, and it looked like blood flowing in the veins. And I jumped up and I wrote everything down that I saw. All I had in my room was a small, you know, those little cubes of paper. And I grabbed one little square. So I began to write down in real small print what I had seen. And I had seen the flora and fauna of Africa. And I wrote down beneath that the blood of Christ is everywhere. His blood flows through the veins of a leaf. And then I went back to bed, and I said, okay, Lord, I know you're talking to me, and I want to hear what you have to say. And immediately the images began to pop into my mind again. And this is what I saw. I saw a great war. There were two armies had been fighting each other. Both armies looked the same. They had the same clothes, you know, the same type of uniforms, and both were comprised of people from all different cultures and races and ethnical backgrounds. So there were Hispanic faces there and Asian and Arabic and American, black faces, white faces, you know, everybody mixed in. So these represented armies from the United States, of all the different cultures that we have. But there were two armies, and they had been fighting each other. Between the armies, there was a great divide, a gap. They had stopped fighting, but there was still a gap, a huge gap between them. Their guns were no longer pointed at each other. Their guns were pointed in the air. And they were looking at me, and their faces were in their face you could see fear and hatred and anger. Behind them, I could see the Statue of Liberty, but I could only see her from the elbow up. That's all you could see. She was still holding the torch. Above all of this, I saw Jesus, and I was amazed at how very big he was, but he was standing above all of this and looking down on it, and he was crying. He was weeping at what was happening at the scene. He was crying. So I got up and I wrote that the world was ugly to Christ. I didn't know the meaning of any of that, and that's all I could think of to write down. And that's what I wrote: the world is ugly to Christ. So the very next scene, I laid back down and I said, okay, Lord, I'm back. You can, you know, I want to hear what you have to say. And immediately he took me back into the vision, and I saw myself lying in a shallow grave, and there were strange hooded beings standing all around me looking down. Well, that was frightening. And so I just got up and I wrote that down, but I didn't pursue any more of the vision. That was too scary for me. So I will say that 3 months after having the vision, I went to Africa. That part of the vision, I had no idea I was going when I had the vision, but I went 3 months later after having it. So that part of the vision came true already, years and years ago. The second part of the vision, I prayed about. I studied the scriptures. I asked the Lord to reveal to me what it meant. What was this war? Who were these soldiers? My first thought was that because of the different races that were represented in both armies, that it was a war that had started because of our ethnical differences and our cultural differences here in the United States. But then it dawned on me that couldn't be it, because each army was comprised of all of the different races and ethnical groups. And so that just didn't make sense. So I studied the Bible and I prayed about it. And what God revealed to me was that that war and that gap, that great chasm that I saw, was actually the gap in the church. It was the division in the church. The soldiers that I saw represented Christians. We are called to be soldiers. But instead of engaging in battle against our true enemy, we were fighting each other in this vision. This is what God revealed to me. Now, because we were not engaged in battle against our true enemy and we were fighting each other, and this is, you know, this gets into some of the different denominations and things that have division in the church. Because of this division, our freedom had fallen, as represented by the fallen Statue of Liberty. All you could see was, you could see her, but you could only see her from the elbow up. Now, the good news was that she was still holding the torch, so there was hope. The final scene of the vision God revealed to me years later, I think it was about 6 years after I had had the vision, he finally just showed up and just spoke up, rather, and told me what the final part of the vision meant. And that part was where I was lying in a shallow grave. And he said to me, if you had been in a deeper grave, those demons would never have found you. And that's all he said. And I think it was about 2 days after he told me that was the day that my husband had a severe stroke. So he was warning me to go deeper with Christ, go deeper with Christ. As a matter of fact, the whole vision had to do with going deeper with Christ, because as a church, as the body of Christ, if we would take our focus off of our own opinions and off of our own desires and our own traditions and put our focus on Christ, the chasm that I saw, that gap that's in the church would close. And then we could make war against the enemy and advance the kingdom of God and regain our freedom in this country. We are that part of the vision is happening now. We are losing our freedom as Christians in this nation. And God revealed to me the way to get that freedom back and maintain is to change our focus back to Christ, off of doctrine and traditions of mankind. Those are the things that keep us divided. Turn our focus back to Christ. Go deeper with Christ. And the closer we get to him, naturally, the closer we are going to be to each other. We won't be making war against each other with our words, and we won't be making war against other people with our words. We'll be focusing on Christ, and we will be advancing the kingdom. So that was actually the first vision that God ever gave me. And I did not grow up in a church where we talked about such things. So I really and truly didn't know what had hit me. I knew it was a vision from God, didn't know what to do about it, didn't know who to share it with, and I'm finally sharing it with you guys tonight. The next dream, another vision that I had, this was also a vision, I was not asleep. This was many years after that one. I was saturating in the Word, and God began to show me images, and I saw three of the horses that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation chapter 6. I didn't know that that's what they were, but I saw a rider come out on a light-colored horse, and then I saw the red horse, and I saw the black horse. You can read in the book of Revelation what those horses represent. One of the horses represents a spirit that has the ability to take peace away from the world. And one of them represents, I think it's inflation. The last horse that comes out in Revelation chapter 6, I did not see. It's a pale horse. But it certainly, since I had this vision, we've had a lot. And the pale horse represents death. Since having that vision, we've had the outbreak of Ebola. And, ISIS has come up. So these things that I saw in the spiritual realm are certainly manifesting, at least to some degree, in the physical realm. But that was the first scene of the vision. I saw those horses, the horse and rider, the first horse and rider, and then the red horse and the black horse come out. And then I moved on in the vision to another war. Now, I've had other visions that were not about war, but I'm sharing these with you tonight for a particular reason, and I'll get to that eventually, I promise. But this war that I saw, it was kind of like silhouettes, and I saw scenes from every war that has taken place on American soil. And, you know, I could see the, you know, the soldiers, and I could tell. It's just when you have a vision from God, sometimes you just know what's going on. And I just knew that that's what I was seeing, was scenes from wars in the past. And they were layered on top of each other. That sounds weird, but these silhouettes were layering on top of each other. Now, on top of all of the wars past came a new and horrible war. There was so much killing and so much fighting. I didn't want to look at it, and I was glad that I was only seeing silhouettes, but it was really frightening. There was a bridge. This war was taking place on one side of the bridge, and I could see killing and fighting on one side of this, again, a gap covered by a bridge. And on the from the other side of the bridge came thousands and thousands of horses, riders on horses, and they rode across the bridge and engaged in this new and horrible war and fought back those, whoever they were, that we were fighting against. So I was, and I, in the vision, was, I was kind of under the bridge, but God revealed to me that I was the bridge. I was bridging a gap, and by bridging this gap, I allowed thousands of soldiers to come out and engage in this warfare to protect us, to fight down the enemy. Now, being this bridge didn't make me special. It only means that it makes me a believer. All believers are supposed to bridge the gap between each other, between different churches, between races, and most importantly, between God and the unbeliever. That's the work of redemption that we are supposed to be engaged in. And that's what Christ did. We also bridge the gap between the spiritual realm and the physical as a royal priesthood. And if we do this, we can allow somehow new soldiers to raise up and engage new and horrible war that I saw. I can't say that this war ever takes place in the physical realm. We all know that it's already happening in the spiritual realm all around us. So, you know, the purpose of that dream, I believe, you know, all I can do is tell you what I saw and what I feel like God is telling me about what I saw, and I would advise you to listen prayerfully and ask God what, you know, the meaning of these dreams and visions. But what I believe the meaning of that particular vision was is that we are, at the very least, experiencing horrible spiritual warfare in this nation right now, and I believe it may and it may not manifest in the physical realm. We're already seeing some of that in just the protesting and things that are going on. We are, in the very least, in a verbal warfare against each other, and our leaders are not getting along very well. There's a lot of dissension and separation in this nation. So, at the very least, we know that this war is now happening in the spiritual realm, may and may not come into the physical realm. But the answer to it, again, was to be what Jesus called us to be, to bridge the gap, to come together, to have unity. And this bridge allows, bridging the gap, coming together, allows all these people to come out and fight and win the war. Now, if we don't do that, I didn't see the outcome. I can't tell you what the outcome is going to be if we don't get closer to Christ and get closer to each other. And I want to share one more dream with you that I've had, and then Marjorie's on the air, and I'm going to get her on here, and she's going to share with you as well. This was the most recent dream that God has given me, and this was a dream. This wasn't a vision, but it's one of those things where I woke up and I knew that it was God. I was standing in a forest, and there was a storm. and it was a horrible storm. Wind was blowing, trees all around, and I was this forest was huge. The trees were real tall, and I was real small, and I was looking up in this windstorm, watching all these trees just blow around, and they were falling all around me, and limbs were crashing down to the ground, and it was very frightening. Very frightening. And I just stood there watching it happen. The next scene in the dream, I saw the trees down. They were down, and the cleanup had already been done, and some of the bigger, older trees had already been cut up. And they were cut up like they would be used in the fireplace. They would be used as fuel. And then the very next scene in the dream was I was standing in the exact same spot, and there were thousands of fresh trees standing straight and tall, side by side, all with green, fresh, new leaves on them, and they were uniform, like a bunch of soldiers, a strong army of soldiers would be. They were all together, and they were the same height, and they were uniform is the best way that I can use to describe it. I know that, you know, when I woke up from this dream, I knew immediately what part of it meant, and that meant the winds of change are coming. And some of the old things that we were familiar with were going to fall and come crashing down around us, and it was going to be very frightening. And some of those things were going to be used as fuel. Some of the old things that were taken down would be used as fuel. But these old things had to go away in order for these new things, these fresh new trees, to sprout and come forth. And so it was a good thing. It brought me a good deal of peace when I came to the realization that, yeah, we're going to go through a storm, and a lot of people are sensing that. We've got stormy days coming, but it's going to have to happen, and it's going to be scary. But in the end, new things are going to come forth. And I learned later that often trees refer to leaders. In the Old Testament, a lot of times if God talked about trees, he was talking about leaders of different countries, different nations. It could also mean old traditions and systems. But whatever it is, it's going to be frightening. Some things are coming down, and then new things are going to take their place. And in the dream, I was not harmed. This, again, does not mean that I'm special. It means that my faith is in God and God alone, not people, not our leadership, not government, not traditions, not systems. So as all of these old trees crashed and fell down around me, I was not harmed. And I want to share a scripture with you about this wind. A lot of people are talking about a wind that's coming, and they have seen similar visions and received similar prophecy. All of it it's all slightly different, but also very similar. That this is actually called the year of the whirlwind. I didn't know that until just a couple of days ago. The dream that I had, I think, was on October the 13th of this year. But I learned a couple of days ago that this is the year of the whirlwind. And so these things are going to come. And again, I cannot say that if this is happening, it's going to happen in the spiritual realm or in the physical realm. But I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the wind is going to blow. And some of our old things, and I personally believe that it's going to be old traditions and old systems that we have put our faith in that are going to fall. But if we'll take our faith out of those systems and put them back in God, then we'll stand there and we'll watch it fall and we'll be okay. There is a passage in the Bible, it's in the book of Ezekiel, that also keeps coming up whenever I talk about this particular dream, this one about the storm. Open the Bible to the same passage a few times, so I thought this is, and it's relevant. It's pretty interesting. I won't read the whole chapter. It's in Ezekiel chapter 13, I have turned this a few times when sharing about this dream. It just happens. And this particular chapter of Ezekiel, God is upset because there are a lot of false prophets in Israel, and they are proclaiming peace when there is no peace. And God is upset with them. And he is also upset because they are, instead of building a wall and strengthening the wall that surrounds Jerusalem, they are whitewashing it just to make it look good. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you, and I'll start with verse 10. It's, God says, because they lead my people astray, saying peace when there is no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, in my wrath, I will unleash a violent wind, and in my anger, hailstones and torrents of rain will fall with destructive fury. Now, what that has to do with the vision that I had, I've just prayed about it and in interpreting why the vision and why that scripture keeps coming up. This is what I believe that it means. I asked the Lord, what does the scripture have to do with the dream that I had about the wind? And what is the wall? If you're about to blow something down, what is it that we haven't done? What is wrong? What is the wall that we haven't built up? And this wall represents being in Christ. We are supposed to be encircled in Christ. That's where our faith should be, in Christ. That's where our blessings come from, in Christ. And in Christ, we have grace and forgiveness and redemption. Anything other than that is a whitewashed wall. When we do things to try to make ourselves look good, and we focus on our flesh, that's whitewashing the wall. And it's weak motives. It's false motives. Instead of making our wall stronger and our faith in Christ stronger, whitewashing, and proclaiming peace when there is no peace. I can't say if that, I have seen it. I can't mention names. I don't know who they are. But there are books and people who sell prophecy that claim peace and prosperity is coming when it may well not be coming if we don't heed these warnings that God is giving us. And in each one of these dreams, the meaning, the instruction that I got out of it was to go deeper into Christ. To go deeper into Christ, that will close the gap in the church, which will help restore our liberty in this country, because we'll be fighting the enemy and not each other. If we go deeper into Christ, we can bridge the gap that will allow soldiers to come forth and fight for us in the spiritual realm of things. It's not the physical realm of things. And then going deeper into Christ instead of whitewashing the wall is what God is looking for. And we may or may not avoid the storm by going deeper into Christ, but we will certainly be spared from these things by going deeper into Christ. So these messages, these dreams and visions, this is from God, and these things are not to frighten the believer, but they are to light a fire underneath the believer. Now, Marjorie, are you there?
Yes, I am, Denise.
Thank you for being on the show tonight. I hope you're feeling a whole lot better, first of all.
I'm doing much better. Thank you very much. Prayers are being answered.
Good. That's always good to hear. I don't know if I did a very good job sharing those dreams. That's really kind of the first time I'm stepping out of the box a little bit here and trying to share those. So if you have any questions, if I didn't make sense with any of it, I would be glad to try to answer questions. Marjorie, did you have any questions?
Oh, are you asking me if I had any questions?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't.
Okay.
It was quite, they were deep and profound, and I'll just leave it at that. It was amazing.
Okay. Now, you and I talked the other day. You, listeners, I've known Marjorie for, I think, 2 or 3 years now. It's been a while. And
it's
we
been a while.
Are, yeah, and I have enjoyed her friendship so much. And she has a spiritual gift, and she, much like myself, she's been kind of keeping it to herself a little bit. So she's kind of, this is a stretch for her also. But I asked her to share just one of the many, was this a vision or a dream, Marjorie?
Are you talking about the chasm?
Yes.
Yes, I've had many dreams and visions, and I did have one that I call chasm, which is interesting because you also had a dream of a something of which you described as a chasm, which is a splitting apart of our beloved country. So when you told me that, I thought that's the mind of God. When two or more sources come forward with the same information, you know that it's the mind of God that is presenting this information to you.
Yes. Yes. So can you tell us, are you comfortable sharing what you saw?
Yeah, I had this dream about 8 or 9 years ago. And unlike your dreams, which are quite detailed and complex, mine are always very simple. It's usually just one or two words, usually a question or a statement that I'm left to figure out. So at that time, I go into a lot of prayer and ask God to give me guidance and what to do about the situation, because I've been involved in many life and death situations where I had to do something. But I had this dream, and it just said there will be a chasm in the United States. I'll take that back. There will be a chasm in your country. And, the United States
okay.
is my country. There will be a chasm in your country. And it really, really disturbed me. And I'm what they call a lucid dreamer. I'm one of those people that when I dream, I know that I'm dreaming and I can ask myself questions and I can get answers. And
wow.
I asked, what does CHASM mean? And it was an acronym. In other words, CHASM. I was supposed to figure out the meaning of the C, the H, the A, the S, the M. Which each of those letters stand for. So I worked on it for months, and I would go to bed at night and sleep and say, give me a part of the chasm answer. And I kept thinking it was cities, and I came up with the names of cities, because there are cities in the United States that spell out chasm: Chicago, Houston, Atlanta, San Diego or San Jose, Memphis. But it kept coming back, chasm, figure out the chasm. So eventually, over a period of time, I was told that to focus on a man that would create a chasm. And over the next several months, by focusing on, it was a man that was going to create a chasm, the words eventually, over a period of months, came to me. And these were the words that made up that acronym: Chicago, Hawaii, Africa, Senate, and Michelle. So it was, I still get upset when I think about it. So I had
uh-huh.
this dream eight years ago that there would be this man with those characteristics who would create chaos and a chasm that would fracture our country. And unfortunately, in many ways, it's coming. That is coming to pass.
So this person was, when you said Chicago, Hawaii, Alaska,
Africa.
Is that what you said? Africa. Oh, okay, Africa. Now it makes sense. Now, who told you, when you're talking about the Holy Spirit revealed this to you?
Yes,
the Holy Spirit
I very feel the Holy Spirit does speak to us if we allow him to. And
yes.
I've been hearing the Holy Spirit since I was 5 years old. Many times just for protection of myself or loved ones, other times warnings. I've written a book, wrote a novel about a lot of my experiences, not all of them. They'll be in subsequent books. But it causes a dilemma in a person that's having the vision or the dream, because sometimes I do have visions, because first off, we're afraid that people aren't going to believe us and they're going to classify us as a nut.
Right, that's true.
But,
that's why we don't come forth very often. Well,
right.
Let me ask you this. Because I'm clearly, you didn't come clear on that, and we do not on our show bash people or politicians, but clearly you're talking about Barack Obama. And is that true? That's right.
Well, I can't think of another man with those five characteristics.
Right.
Now, and taking in consideration, I dreamed this 8 years ago.
Okay. Well, we were talking about this, and it's hard to bring it up. It's hard to talk about this because we don't want to be disrespectful to him on our show. In Romans chapter 13, I just looked this up again, and it said, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." So we do have to respect him, but could it be that because of the division, we were talking about the problem, the reason our country is divided is a spiritual problem. If the church would come back together, then the nation would come back together. So it could well be that God gave you that vision because God maybe gave us the leadership that's going to divide us. God's not a God. It's like the Tower of Babel. The people, when they were building the Tower of Babel, and they were all headed in the wrong direction. They were not worshiping God. So God put confusion, and he put a stop to that thing by separating them.
That's right.
And so it could be that that's what's happening here. And we like to separate church and state, but I don't think that's the proper thing to do. It's all spiritual. Does that make
Ultimately,
sense?
Ultimately, it is all spiritual because we are all spiritual beings.
Yes, and we're supposed to be worshiping one God, and if we're not doing that, then that's why we're having this division and this confusion. Is that what you? What else did he reveal to you in the dream?
You know, that's it. You know, of course,
coming.
I've been praying every day that there would not be a chasm, and that we would all come together and we would stay united. But when I see the riots going on.
Yes.
The situations precipitated the riots. My own daughter was robbed in downtown Atlanta 3 days after one of my clients was pickpocketed. There were protesters when I had to go downtown and rescue her because she didn't have her car when she was robbed.
Yeah.
She didn't have her car keys anymore. Really makes you stop and think and say, what are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to the United States, what are we doing to the planet? What are we doing to all the souls on the planet?
Yes.
We all need healing. Everybody needs
yes.
healing.
We do. Everybody, you know, people are hurting. People are hurting and they don't know where to turn. So this chasm, this just came to me, this chasm, the problem is gap between God and man.
True.
When that particular leadership came into office, one of the first things he did was announce that we were not a Christian nation, that we were a country of idealists. Is that
mm-hmm.
true, or did I? Okay.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's been said on numerous occasions, and I have to say I take fault with that. That's not true. We are a Christian nation. We were founded by people seeking liberty to express their Christian religion.
Right. So he has taken steps, whether knowingly or not, I can't say But he has taken steps to further the gap between God and man. And
right.
So maybe perhaps that's the chasm that, you know, that's the, where the real problem lies. You know, Jesus was a bridge. Jesus bridged that gap between God and man. So, again,
yes,
I would say the answer to that, you know, to that chasm that you saw, the, you know, the chasm and the gaps that I saw is that bridge, you know, the bridging that gap. There have been other times when you have seen things, and I don't, let's see what time, we've got 9 minutes. I know that you have seen other things, and we don't have that much time to go into it tonight, but I'm hoping, listeners, that you've learned that, number one, God does speak to us. God does give us guidance. He reveals to us things that are to come. That, like Marjorie's saying, all she got was the word chasm, and she knew that the gap was coming, and she knew that you were led to start praying. Is that, that's what I gathered from that.
Correct.
You were led to start praying for our nation.
Right.
Okay, so God gave her, through just that one word, he gave her the insight to go on and start praying for our nation. So she's been doing that for how long? 9 years?
Yes.
9 years.
Now, in my church, I'm an Episcopalian, in my church, we say a prayer for our nation every Sunday. We do not
every
go Sunday.
Sunday
without praying for our nation. Right.
Okay, and I highly recommend that, and we do it. We need to do it every day. Well, we're supposed to pray without
ceasing. But we also need to pray for it every day.
Yes.
We've had warnings.
We've had warnings, and there are lots of other people talking about war in this land. There's prophecy from, or I don't know if you would call this prophecy or not, Rick Joyner, if you've ever heard of him, had a dream about war in this land, and he's good about saying, I hope I'm wrong, but this is what I saw, and he saw war coming. And I don't think he could say either if it was in the spiritual realm or the physical realm. I watched his video of it, and it was a call to our nation to pray. So we have been called to pray for our nation, and in the visions and dreams that I have shared with you, you had a warning that a storm is coming, and that that these wars are at the very least right now happening in the spiritual realm of things. I think all Christians know that. We are at war in the spiritual realm, and it's rough. And the answer to that, we are called, and we have been warned to go deeper with Christ. That's what we've been warned to do, to stop whitewashing the walls, stop focusing on the flesh, stop focusing on our traditions, and stop what we're doing and go deeper with Christ. As a matter of fact, I almost forgot about this. A lot of times I pray and I ask the Lord to give me something. And then I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll write down what I hear. And I heard several things last night, but this is one thing that I want to share with you before we close. And I was praying. I was in prayer about these dreams and these visions. And this is what I heard the Lord say. Walk with me, says the Lord. I am about to take you through a whirlwind. And he said, notice he said, take you through it. I'm about to take you through a whirlwind that will bring calamity. Calamity will bring change. Change will bring power back into the hands of my people. Come in droves and see the new work that I am doing. Now, some are predicting, I'm interjecting something here. Some are predicting that this whirlwind is coming and that it's the breath of God breathing in revival. And I think we're talking about the same thing, just in a different way. Obviously, some traditions and things have to go before we can experience revival again. So then I'm going to continue with what I heard, what I felt like I heard in my spirit last night. He said, lay down your carnal weapons, pick up your shovels, and dig deeper. Uncover what was hidden from you, what lies beneath the ruins, what is